my mind for a few months thinking about peace. And then Matt asked if there was anything, and I was like, what do we talk on? He's like, you can pick. Which is always really hard, because what do you pick? And I was like, well, actually, peace has been on my heart. But it's taken a different form from where I first thought. But peace is something everybody wants. So I did that little Google, I put in the Google, pictures on peace, and this is what it gave me. Isn't that nice? So I'm just going to ask a question here. When you look at those pictures, if you can see them, they're a little bit small. What words would you associate with peace? We're going to have a little bit of a call-out thing, I know. What words would we think of when we look at these pictures? They're like different pictures.
Tranquility.
Tranquility together, that was lovely. Tranquility. Yeah?
Stillness.
Stillness.
Quiet.
Quiet.
Beauty, actually.
Beauty. Literally, you've got what I wrote down. So that's good. Very, and this was just what came up. And so I want us to think about peace. And I thought, well, I'll look at what the dictionary definition popped up on Google too, because I have the definition. It says peace is a freedom from disturbance, tranquility. Isn't that lovely? It also is the next one down was the absence of war. But you know they do that little bit where they put the word into a sentence so you can understand it. This is genuinely what the sentence was. Can I have the next slide? He just wanted to drink a few beers in peace. Now, I just thought, I feel that the person who wrote that really connected there. But we think about that. I mean, how often have we heard the word? We've said it, I just want a bit of peace and quiet. And when we say that, we're meaning I just want space, I want things to be clear, I don't want noise, I don't want the distractions, just, you know, I just want a bit of peace and quiet. And people today are desperately searching for peace. People want peace. And they're looking for it. And yet the Bible has quite a bit to say about peace. Can I have the next slide? Because Jesus offers a different type of peace. We've talked about beauty and stillness and quietness. And the Old Testament word for peace is shalom, which is wholeness and completeness with all its complex parts, which is basically, it's like all the pieces have to be fitting and working and together and in the right place for peace. That's what it means. It's really, and so it would also, I think it uses Isaiah goes out to check the sheep, I think it said, I'm going to put my name on there. And he said there was shalom, meaning all the sheep were present and where they should be. It uses it in that context. Another point, Jesus, when David goes to his brothers, he actually asks, have you shalom? How's your peace? How are you doing? And it's also using the word of restoring relationships. Yeah? But it's not just the absence of conflict. It's about the restoration. It's about things being made right, being put right and restored. And then in the New Testament, the Greek word is anybody a Greek scholar here?
Checking before I literally butcher the language.
Because I did do that Google thing, how do you pronounce this? And I'm not sure I've remembered. Eirene. And it talks about Jesus being Eirene. He is peace. He came to restore. He came to make things right, to make things whole again. And we're going to think a bit about that. The Bible verse I want to look at is, well, it's a few actually. Jesus said in John 14:1 and then 27, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. Now, this is where I talked about peace earlier. This is where I listen to this. I have this app, and I listen to it when I'm on a walk. It's the Lectio app, and it reads the reading 4 or 5 times. And this was back in July, and I kept focusing on the word let. We're going to come to that in a bit. But it's saying here that peace is a gift. And so I was thinking about gifts. Now, Richard, if any of you have been to his Christmas talk, I'm sure you have more than this talk, Richard. It's the only Christmas talk that you've given, I remember.
It's my only one.
It's your only one. He talked about gifts. gifts and what a good gift is. And I've actually bought in a gift that I was given by my parents. Richard talked about a gift he was given by our parents. And my dad, it was my birthday a couple of years ago, he was really excited. He was like, I've got a gift for you, it's really cool, I'm so, you're going to love it. And I was like, oh, okay, this is exciting. And he kept on about it, and I genuinely could not think what it was. He gave it to me, and I genuinely could not think what it was. Because my gift, I mean, who's not going to go, wow, my gift was this. Does anybody want to hazard a guess as to what this is? I mean, you've probably all been given them, surely. You're like, oh, I've got one of those at home. Anybody? Did you just say, is it for ball pool?
Is it for golf ball?
Oh, I thought you said ball pool. So I'm always in a ball pool. Golf balls? I don't play golf. But I think maybe you could. Any ideas?
Bird catcher.
Bird? Wow. It's dark in their house. Why are you the birds fly? They could have a dog catcher in the middle, doesn't it? Any ideas?
Killing bees.
Pardon?
Killing bees.
Killing bees? Well, this is... I'm going to stop this right now. I genuinely didn't see this, like, catching birds, killing bees. We like nature. Remember the nice photos. No, it's not that. I'm going to give you a clue. In our garden, we have lots of apple trees. Oh. What do you think it's for, Ava? Catching apples. Ava, would you like to give this a go? Do you want to come up and give it a go? Is that okay? Would you? Yeah, come give it a go. Yeah, we're going to. Does anybody also want to come and give it a go? I'll show you how you use it. Okay, here goes Matt. Dropping the apples. Now, the apple trees are lovely, right? But we have like five of them in our garden, and they start dropping apples before they're ready. The apples then get wasps in them, which is lovely. They also give them a sheath, so if you go into the garden in bare feet, which I do, and I'm like, oh, quickly get washing, you tread on mushy apple and it goes between your toes. And then you can also, you can also just stick on them, they are literally everywhere, and I'd have to pick them up. Now, Ava, what do you think you're going to do with it? Give it a go. You just charge at those apples. I've not actually done it on soft floor, but by a hard floor like this. If you just roll it along there. Oh. You just roll it. What? Oh, it's their movement. They don't do this on the grass. You might have to cheat a little bit. You're not meant to match the apples like this. Do you want to see if you can get a few more?
Yeah.
I haven't tried it on hard floor. I didn't think this through. No, we're just pushing them along. We need the grass. The grass it works on. Yeah, you just ram them now. I mean, they're fine with it because they're all ready to use it for bees and birds. So they're not going to care. Yeah, she's getting them. She's getting them.
Yeah.
Ramming it in. So when you drop on the grass, it literally is like hoovering. You just walk along with it and they all pop in. And it saves so much time. And so this gift that I was just like, thanks, Dad. I actually use an awful lot. Like, we have to do apples kind of like clearing every other day at the moment. Especially because I can't have my sweets. So, yeah, they're not even very nice for cooking at present. But we have a lot of apples. It's still going. Oh, no, Ava, when they start coming out, you might want to come and empty them. Oh, dear, we're losing them. Kiss them. You can actually leave those ones, Sarah. Oh, use them in a bit. But give me Ava. Okay. But I will remember. You see, I was given this gift, but it doesn't magically make all my apples disappear. Yeah? I have to use it. Now, sometimes we think a gift of peace. That means that life should be free, easy, right? You know, we open the door in the morning, we're told we've got a gift of peace with us. So I open the door, and the street, busy street, just stills. The sun shines down on me, just the right lighting to make me look lovely. You know, the sun shines down. As I walk by the trees, they're just going to blossom. And we ignore the people trying to catch bees with this. They're quite happy. And the bird, we have some, there are birds because Matt's not been out yet. And, you know, we can kind of think, well, you know, God, if I've got your peace, make But that's the world peace. Jesus said, my peace I give you, but it's a peace not like the world gives. Where we look for those moments of serene and quiet, and we try to seek them out, but Jesus' peace is with us in the chaos. Jesus' peace is with us in the brokenness. Jesus' peace is with us in the disappointments, in the pain, in the uncertainty. Because there are a lot of external things that can affect our peace. We can have wars, we can have politics, we can have climate change, we can have all these things going on that can affect our peace. We can have things closer to home, we can have family issues, we can have worry about paying bills, we can have worry about health. We can have all these worries going on, worry about what other people think of us. We can have all this worry going on. About the next slide. Oh yeah, no, that's fine. And the next one. Forgot about that one. And what I remember years and years and years ago, doing an assembly on the What If Master. And I didn't realise it was used in schools when I was Googling, and I actually came across this. It's that what if in our head. You see, any external thing going on only affects us when it becomes internal and our fears and our anxieties start to rise. And we go, because actually, sometimes fear and anxiety, they're not bad. You know, you need a bit of fear to stop you doing stupid things. You need, if I didn't have anxiety, I wouldn't have bothered preparing. You know, you need a little bit of anxiety to think, actually, what do I need to change? What do I need to do a bit differently here? We often completely disregard it, but we don't need fear and anxiety when they're in our head and we're what if, and the things that are out of control start limiting the life that God has for us. Yeah, that's what we don't need, fear and anxiety. And so it's all very well, Jesus says we've got the gift of peace. I got the gift of an apple picker. But you have to use it. You have to use it. And as I was reading it, Matt mentioned this earlier, I think the gift of peace affects our minds and our hearts. It affects how we think and what we do, but also our experience too.
Can I have the next slide, please?
Yeah, so Colossians says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. So how do we let the gift of peace go? Now, let's think that these are some of our what ifs. What if I get ill? What if I go to school and I'm sat next to somebody I just don't like, or I've got a test to do and I don't do well on it? What if the project I'm doing at work is wrong and people think badly of me? What if, I don't know what people's what ifs might be, what if this family situation doesn't work out? What if I have these questions about God and I can't answer them and don't know what to do with them? That's what I've had. What if, and we have them here. Now, I think this is where I want to put it. We have to use the gift of peace, but it's not about us striving and beating ourselves up, yeah? There's a difference between using it. I think as Christians, we can often fall into the trap of being like, right, well, I'm not going to think those things anymore. I'm not going to think about that. No, I know I'm not going to think about it. And we work and we work and we work, and it's exhausting, because actually psychology says the more we think we're not going to think something, the more we think it. That's intrusive thoughts, yeah? And actually, what Jesus wants us to do is we're told to do not be anxious about anything, but every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends a big word, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can I have the next slide? So God wants us to break. So there's a bit that, I think it's 1 Corinthians 15, I didn't write it down, it says, take captive every thought. Now, I could just go, I want these apples banished. Actually, I've got to catch them. Or bees, or birds, whatever you're... You've got to catch them, right? Take captive every thought. I promise this does... I feel this is a really poor shopping channel effort for an apple picker. It does work. Take captive every thought. Now, we don't go, I'm not going to think that anymore. I believe we take it captive, which means Jesus is saying, bring it to me.
Yes. Yeah.
In everything, by prayer and petition, we bring him our thoughts. We don't fight it. We don't go, I'm not going to think that anymore. We come and we say, Jesus,
yeah,
I'm anxious. I'm frightened. I'm feeling disturbed by this. I have disturbance. I'm feeling worried about this. I'm telling you, this is how I'm feeling. What do you want to say?
Yes.
Who are you in this situation? At the back, we did this. I'll get Matt to get in if you don't mind that. They're all the names of God. Who are you in this situation? We acknowledge who it is and we bring it to God. We might need to keep bringing it to God, but we bring it to God. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He wasn't there, all like, yeah, whatever. He was there on his knees, crying. In fact, when he said that the peace of God that passes understanding, I leave you my peace, that was on his way to the cross. That was leading up to the cross. And yet, with the peace of God, whatever lay before him, he got up and he faced it.
Yes.
Didn't mean it was easy, but he had. He knew God with him. He knew God would give him what he needed to do that. He knew God was at work. And then the other thing is, Philippians 4 says, finally, brothers, this links to peace. Whatever, our sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received from me, put it into practice. And the peace of God will be with you. We bring our things to God, but we also, Matt, I didn't know he was going to do that little bit at the beginning. In the midst of all the chaos, your mercies are new every morning. We think about the things that we don't let our fear and our anxiety black out the good.
Yeah.
We look at what God is doing, what he's given, the good things around us. We make notes. And you know what I find amazing is, you've done a bit of anxiety stuff, and it always says, you know, keep a grateful journal, look for the good. It's all there in the Bible, isn't it? It's all in the Bible. And so that's the other thing. So this is our minds. Can I have the next slide, please? Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. Now, I was listening to a talk that made the point, we talked about being thankful, looking for the good. But when are we thankful normally? When do we say thank you? It's normally after somebody's given us something, right? Well, thank you. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. We say thank you before God's done it.
Yeah?
That's when we're saying thank you.
Yeah.
When God's done it. Before he's done it, I mean. Because what we're saying is, God, this is the situation I'm in. This is what I'm worried about. This is my fears. These are my anxieties. But thank you. But thank you. This is what I would like. But actually, you're not here to serve me. I'm here as your child, as your servant. So thank you that I can trust you. And again, we're going to go into this point in a minute about who God is. We thank God because of who he is and what he will do. Your kingdom come, your will be done. We say, oh, look, this is what we want. But thank you, God, that it doesn't work out like this. If I don't get this, you're still God.
Yeah.
You're still God. Tim Anderson's mum in lockdown did a talk, and it's this one phrase that really stuck with me. Out of all the talks, it's one thing I've really remembered. She talked about her husband, and when something would happen that just threw them, he had this phrase that he would always say, which was, did not God off his throne. Now, I don't think it's Northern, but it's always said in the North. I don't know why, in the Northern accent. I did not God off his throne. And meaning that God's still God. He's still in his place, and he knew it was going to happen.
Yes.
So we take that with us. Is that the next slide, please? And that's in remembering who he is. Now, Ava, sorry, I know it's like a pain, right? You're right in my view. Can I borrow you again?
Yeah.
Thanks. Ava's like a star today. Yes. Right, now, Ava, you know trust falls, where you have to fall back and somebody catches you. Do you know that one?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to thank you. Because I was actually going to say, who do you trust to catch you? Who are you going to pick? Who do you think will catch you? Who do you want to pick today? Well, she's not actually. He's like literally weighing up the. She's like, hang on, they're tall. Who are you going for?
My granddad.
Up you come, granddad.
I
Dave, if it's what you want, because I know you've got my best for me. I've had to go to the hospital. And you know, you go for scans and they're looking to see if something's wrong. And then we'd go, oh, and you think, what does that mean? You just go back to the waiting room and you're there going, and you think, well, God, I don't know what's going to happen. But you're still God, it's not knocked you off your throne. Whatever.
Yeah.
And there's one where actually I was in a clinic and it was during COVID. So we were all spaced out, but we were chatting. And we were having such a laugh. The reception lady came in to check everybody was okay, because it's not even that noisy. Who knew I could do that? But because God's peace with me. And so that's what I want to bring with you today. We don't struggle, we don't push it, but we ask for God's peace. We put ourselves, we receive the gift and we use it. There's so much more as well, which I'm not going to do, about going on and thinking about how do we be peace bringers to our people. Which was what I was originally. But actually, we need to get that peace living and flowing through us first. So in a minute, should we go straight on?
Yeah.
In a minute, we're In a minute we are going to go have communion, and that's remember Jesus came. He is peace. He gives us peace. But that peace came at cost. Are you going to keep that? Well, it's yours. Bite in. That peace came at us at cost. So I just, as we have a moment of quiet now, there might be things that are on your mind. Might be school, might be going back to uni, it might be work, it might be family, we've talked about lots of things. If you want to just bring any of those to God. So Jesus, we thank you for the power of what you've done on the cross. We thank you that you restore, that you put right, that you make things whole and complete. Even when we can't see it, you're working. And so we come to you this morning, we still ourselves. We ask that you help us to use this gift of peace. That you help us to bring our anxieties and fears to you. That you help us look for the good. That you help us be thankful for who you are and what you've done and what you will do. And that you help us trust in who you are in our lives and to surrender.